live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this third day of March 2026. And this year marks the 30th year of my friendship with a very dear man of God. I'm amazed that he has put up with me as a friend for this many decades. His name is Dr. Conrad Mbewe, world-renowned and highly sought-after Bible conference speaker, author, planter of dozens of Reformed Baptist churches on the African continent, founding chancellor, of African Christian University, and the pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia. And today we're going to be addressing our 30 years of friendship and all that has occurred to the glory of God over those decades. We're also going to be announcing two speaking engagements featuring Dr. Mbewe this week, one tomorrow night and one Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in central Pennsylvania. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Chris. I look forward to our time together. Thank you for organizing.
Yes, and I have been already having a wonderful time of fellowship with Dr. Mbewe, who arrived here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Monday. And he has been sharing fellowship with also some of my fellow members of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And tonight, I'm looking forward to having dinner with my pastor, Simon Omani, and Dr. Mbewe in the wonderful restaurant in the hotel where he is staying here in Carlisle. And I want to, right off the bat, mention two of the events that I hope as many of you who are listening are able to attend. The first event is going to be held, as I said before, tomorrow night, Wednesday, March the 4th, 7 p.m. at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Mbewe is going to be speaking on Be Holy for I Am Holy, which is something that we all need to be reminded of. And then on Thursday, March the 5th, I'm having my first biannual free pastor's luncheon of 2026. I've had many of these pastor's luncheons going back to the 1990s, but this will be the first of 2026, featuring Dr. Mbewe. And it will be held at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. The admission is always free. And not only is the meal free and attendance free and your opportunity to fellowship with colleagues in ministry, if you are indeed a man in ministry leadership, not only is all of that free, but every man attending is going to receive at least two heavy sacks of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by very generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. I think we are going to have the largest collection of free brand new books available at this luncheon than we've ever had before. And I actually, judging from the registrations, I think we may have the largest attendance that we've ever had before. And I'm really thrilled about that. So if you're a man in ministry leadership, I'm going to extend the RSVP to those who are listening to this live program. We originally had a deadline of yesterday, Monday, to register for this free event, but I'm going to extend it to tomorrow at 12 noon. If you are a man in ministry leadership listening to this, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Give me your full name, the name of your church or parachurch ministry and its location, and the number of men who will be joining you at this event this Thursday. The event on Wednesday that I already mentioned at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, that is open to all, free of charge, men, women, and children. But the pastor's luncheon is only for men in ministry leadership. That's pastors, elders, deacons, and men who are leaders in parachurch organizations. So if you would like to register, please send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we will put you down and save a spot for you. I would like you to let our listeners know that have not yet heard you on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, or perhaps anywhere else for that matter. Would like you, Dr. Mbewe, to tell our listeners something about Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, and also about African Christian University.
Thank you. The Kabwata Baptist Church, which I've been pastoring now for almost 40 years, began as a church planting effort in 1981 out of the Lusaka Baptist Church, which is in the same city. The elders at that time felt there was need to plant a separate church in a particular location of the city. And a number of us who were students then were like the team that was being sent out into these activities, the outreach activities. Fast forward to 1986, 26th of January, a group of about perhaps 30 individuals covenanted together to become the Kabwata Baptist Church. They began to look for a pastor and called me to come and pastor them. So although I was part of the team that was doing the church planting, I now came back to be the full-time pastor. Kabwata Baptist Church continues. It now has about 450 church members. We do a lot of outreach to young people, women, married couples, through literature, through radio, internet, and so forth. But we also have been involved in church planting. We've planted between 35 and 40 churches, some within the city, others within the country, and others around the continent. So that's what I would say there, unless there'll be specific questions. Over to the African Christian University, a number of our churches together decided to start the African Christian University as part of our own discipleship process of young people. So at least two of our churches run primary schools. We're hoping to also establish high schools. But then the idea of a university came up in conjunction with an American missionary who was laboring in Mozambique at that time. And so that's how we began this university. We brought in our first student in 2016. And so last year, we had our 10th graduation ceremony, which was great. We rejoiced in that. The same American missionary who now came back to the USA in 2018 came to handle the graduation ceremony. So it was glorious. We've got four schools, agriculture, business, education, and theology. Everything is taught from a biblical worldview using a semi-classical teaching model. We have about 100 students at the moment that we are taking through all these four schools. We thoroughly enjoy seeing the young people's lives transformed. I think that's what I would say about the African Christian University as well. I was asked to be the founding chancellor, and that's how come I also wear a hat at that level.
Amen. And if anybody wants more details about either Kubota Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, or African Christian University, first of all, you could go to kubotabaptistchurch.com, kubotabaptistchurch.com. And for African Christian University, you can go to two different websites, acu.ac.zm, acu.ac.zm. And you can also go to acu-usa.com, acu-usa.com. And we'll be repeating that information later on in the program. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to the Sauer family, S-A-U-E-R. I was eating lunch today at the Grazery restaurant here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, my favorite lunch spot. And I actually treated Conrad to lunch there yesterday. But today I was eating lunch by myself. And I happened to be sitting at a table providentially right next to where a flyer was hanging on the wall, actually on an archway in the restaurant, promoting the Wednesday night meeting that Dr. Mbewe will be preaching at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle tomorrow night. It's Wednesday, March 4th. And this young lady, teenager, was looking at the flyer, and all of a sudden I noticed a huge beaming smile broke out on her face, and she very excitedly said, "Mom, look, Conrad Mbewe is speaking in town." And I was astonished that this young lady knew who Conrad was, and I said, "Excuse me, do you know Conrad Mbewe?" And she said, "Well, I know who he is. I'm a member of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, where John MacArthur used to be pastoring before he went home to the Lord. And Conrad preached at our church, and I also met Conrad at a conference in New Zealand and had the privilege of sitting right across from him for lunch at the table where we were eating." And so I was excited to hear this and gave her another flyer. That was Amy Sauer, and she is a ballet student here in Carlisle, and hopefully she'll be there Wednesday night. Her class ends at 7:30, a half hour after our meeting begins, but hopefully she'll be able to get there in time anyway to hear most of the presentation. And unfortunately, her parents are going back to California tomorrow morning, so they'll have to miss the event at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church. But I hope that the Sauer family begins listening to this program. And I just wanted to give a shout out, especially because of the remarkable providential circumstances surrounding that encounter. So now I'm going back in my mind all the way back to 1996, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, was the church that I was a member of before moving to Pennsylvania. And a year after we were established, my pastor, Mike Gadosh at the time, said to me, he handed me a cassette tape, and he said, "You've got to hear this tape of this preacher from Africa, Conrad Mbewe. We're going to get him to preach at a conference here at the church." And I listened to the tape. I was absolutely blown away. And by the way, if you can ever help me, Conrad, find this sermon that you preached, and it would have been over 30 years ago that you preached it, obviously, but you had this very impassioned part of the sermon. You were preaching your guts out, as it were. And you said, "What would life be without Christ? It would be a million billion hells in one." And of course, you went on elaborating on that. But I played about a 30-second clip of that sermon in commercials that I aired on WMCA Radio in New York. I was an employee there, an account executive, and we played that commercial for at least a month every day, and our phones were ringing off the hook, and people kept saying one after another, "That man has the anointing. I've got to hear him preach." And we had, even though you were not well known at all at that time, you were known, I think, only to a relative handful of Reformed Baptist pastors across the country and the UK and so on. But we had, nonetheless, over 500 visitors to our church for that conference over the three-day period that we held the conference, and that did not even include the members of our church. We had the honor of being the very first church in the United States to feature Dr. Mbewe in 1996. Anything from your own memory of when you first came here to the States to preach, brother?
Yeah. The main thing I recall is the event itself. I was meeting a number of you for the very first time. There was you, there was Gary Wolf, who went to be with the Lord quite recently as well. And we've maintained the friendship over the last 30 years. I also recall a number of people coming to see me after each meeting and introducing themselves to me, largely wanting me to then go over to their specific churches for the weekend or for the following week to preach for them. But of course, it wasn't possible. My entire itinerary for that trip had already been planned out. A number of them therefore gave me their business cards and church flyers with the hope that the next time I come to the U.S., I would visit with them and so on. It was a good easing into life here in America because, as we've already noted, it was my very first visit to the USA. And many individuals told me that they knew about the meeting from that same clip that you had been playing on the radio. I hope I lived up to their expectations.
No, I'm sure you did. And I can just remember how astonished many of those who were gathered were by the power of your preaching. And in fact, I can recall that at the time, we hardly had any black folks who were members of Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And there were several families, black families, that came to the conference and remained there for years. I'm not sure if they're still there. They may be. But it's just a memory that will be forever etched in my heart and mind. And I know that my dear friend Rich Jensen, pastor of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, New York, he was just starting to, and he was in the beginning stages of planting a church. At that time, it was in Farmingville, Long Island. And I remember he sought your counsel during that meeting. I don't know if you remember that at all, because I know that there was a lot going on. But it's something that was a very important and special to Pastor Rich Jensen.
Well, I couldn't recall the event, but he has since brought it to my attention. I think I had a meeting with him probably this time last year or a little earlier. And he reminded me that where he is currently ministering, it's partly a fruit of that conversation that we had together. As for me, my brain is totally blank. I'm
Yes, and in fact, you preached at Hope Reformed Baptist Church probably a year ago when they had a conference there for First Love Ministries, who actually invited you to participate in that conference that was held at the building of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, New York. And it was another wonderful time to be gathered with you and the saints there. And that's when you and I had the opportunity to visit our mutual very dear friend for many years, Gary Wolfe, on his deathbed. And it was an extraordinary experience for me to witness you, because I have only experienced the side of you that is just not only a friend, of course, but a powerful biblical preacher. But I had not seen the tender, compassionate shepherd at the deathbed of a loved one before, featuring you sitting there. And I had the privilege of being there with you, and it was something that I think it was evident to me that God used you in a very meaningful way in Gary's heart and mind as he was preparing to exit this earth. Because as you know, he was feeling a bit of apprehension and fear to die, even though he believed in the essential elements of the gospel and was trusting in Christ, he was still afraid. And can you speak about that? Because it would be very wrong for people to have a cookie-cutter attitude towards the Christian and dying. Not everybody responds the same way to that news that they have a terminal illness and even only have months to live. Not everybody has the same courage and joy to face Christ in eternity, and that confidence that some Christians are blessed with. That's not something that exists in every single person who is a Christian on their deathbed, does it?
Yeah, the reality of the biblical teaching is that death is the last enemy. And nobody faces an enemy while whistling and clapping his hand. In this particular case, it's an enemy that's been put upon us by a curse because of our foreparents, Adam and Eve, and particularly Adam, failing to keep his sign of the covenant that was made between him as our representative and God. So you can imagine it's at the very highest level. So this is not like a small matter, that the giver of life is the very one who says, if you do this, you will surely die. That's extremely serious. And yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He has taken upon himself our liability. And as a result, he has removed the sting from death. But nonetheless, it still remains like a lion which is in a cage. And when it's roaring and jumping at you, you still tremble at its reality. We also have to realize what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. He makes the point that though we desire to go to glory, to go to put on immortality, he makes the point that we do not want to be unclothed simply because of that same reality that we are speaking about here. He puts it this way in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. But he makes this point. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He's making the point that we don't long for the unclothing. And it's talking about death. And so between those two realities, those who are now face to face with death tremble. And it's important that as those who are ministering to them, we are realistic. We are not just telling them to overlook the reality they are going through, but we point them to gospel truth so that they can fix their eyes on the Savior and what he has done for them. And basically that's what I was doing with Gary on that occasion. And then of course praying that God may himself directly minister those truths into the child of God who is now about to walk in the valley of the shadow of death.
Amen. And what can you tell us about what you have learned, maybe things that are different in your thought process that have developed in these 3 decades since I first met you in 1996 at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick? Is there anything over the years that has challenged you to the point where you have changed your mind about something, or things that you've learned that you didn't know before, et cetera? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, look, all of us have to grow. Spiritually, we grow in our understanding of the Bible. We grow as married men. We grow as parents when we are raising a family. We grow in our handling of our own finances, and so on. So it would be wrong for me to say that the way I came to the U.S. on that first trip is still the same old me. What I am, however, grateful to God for is that before I became a pastor, I had come to a settled position in terms of my doctrinal understanding. So I had already become a Calvinist. I'd already come to the Reformed faith. I had a settled approach towards my preaching ministry, that it was going to be expository in nature, doctrinally rich and clear. So I'm not just going to be going to texts that are giving us examples, good examples, people like Moses and Joseph and David and Solomon and so on. But what's the teaching of God in those passages in Scripture? So there's a lot to be said for that. What I would nonetheless say is that in those years, I was largely young and I had an idealistic view of ministry and the church that made me very tense in dealing with church reform and revitalization. I think as I have traveled the globe, I have become more understanding of the cultural nuances so that I am less bent on reform overnight. I've been a lot more patient in handling God's people as we've been going forward. I've also began to see a lot more clearly in terms of the hills to die on and others that I'm willing to live with people to process in their own time and so forth. I think that's definitely been a fruit of my maturation over the years, for which I'm grateful. There's been a greater, perhaps, appreciation of the fruit of a longer ministry, longevity in ministry. I've seen those that came to Christ in the earlier part of my ministry become fathers and become grandparents and so forth. So it's seeing a second and third generation in the homes and also in the church has also had its positive effect upon my own ministry. I think generally that's the way that I would put it. Doctrinally, it's not been so much a change as simply maturing in the truths that I have come to know. Perhaps I could also add quickly that in the earlier part of my ministry, I was thinking primarily about my own church, the church I was pastoring, full stop. I wanted it to be a model church and so forth. I think in the more recent past, I think more in terms of the growing a cadre of younger pastors, encouraging them in their own ministries, seeing more and more churches planted across the country, across the continent, not necessarily that all of them are growing out of Kawata Baptist Church. Many of them are in their own circle of churches that I just want to encourage them to be biblical, to be God-glorifying, to be gospel centered, and so forth. So those are some of the changes that have taken place in my my ministry over the 30 years we've known each other.
Praise God. And we're going to our first commercial break right now. If you have a question of your own for Dr. Mbewe, submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, my guest today is my very dear friend of 30 years, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. He is also the founding chancellor of African Christian University. He is speaking here in central Pennsylvania this week of the first time tomorrow at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania at 7 p.m. And then following that on Thursday, March the 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., he will be preaching at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, at my biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. And if you are a man in ministry leadership and you would like to attend that, send me an email to register for free at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your name, the name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men that will be joining you. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We have a listener named John in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Never seen that town name before here in Pennsylvania. John in Aliquippa says, are there things that you have realized are unique challenges to pastors in Africa, more specifically Zambia, than exist amongst other churches in other parts of the world that you have visited?
Yeah, the point is, the way God has made his world is that there are different situations in each part because of history, historical fact. So, for instance, even here in the U.S., you'll notice, at least I have noticed, that you have got your Bible Belt in the South, where there is greater openness to Christianity, more specifically evangelical Christianity, than you have, for instance, in the Northeast. The Northeast tends to be a lot more atheistic and less permeated by the Bible context. It may not have been that way some time ago. Where I'm coming from, there's a lot of church activity, a lot of new people coming to faith in Christ, a lot of churches beginning to be established. We can't keep up in terms of the training of pastors. I get surprised when I hear that in the West, Bible colleges are closing down because they don't have enough enrollment. That's not our problem, where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from, we can't keep up with the need to train pastors. Closely related to that is that we don't have enough Bibles to go around, let alone study Bibles for pastors to use. Pastors, many of them, tend to survive on very few books. Even where they have a Bible in hand, and so forth. So the challenges, yeah, we can call it poverty, but many of them, they just don't know any better. They've never known a luxurious context anyway. They've never known plenty. That's the life they know. So we have a lot that is positive in terms of what the Spirit of God is doing, but there are also deprivation realities that we have to deal with. And then we have the cultural, traditional, what we call it, African traditional religion, that still has a hold on the people. And it is finding its way into the church through a form of syncretism. And it's usually accepted through the man of God phenomena. Just as you have a witch doctor in the village, you now have the equivalent of that in the church through individuals that are claiming to have supernatural powers, and therefore they are abusing and defrauding people. And a number of such people may be genuinely innocent. They just don't know any better. And that's where the challenge of biblical teaching, biblical instruction, is one that is on our hands. And so forth. So there are unique situations there that perhaps in the West you have to dig deep to find. For us, it's screaming before your very face.
Amen. We have, well, let me ask you a question before I go to Alan in Hobe Sound, Florida, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's either Hobe or Hobie, I imagine. There's something unique about the charismatic phenomena that you are facing in Zambia. Almost every evangelical in the United States, or in the you know, a lot of the Western world, has encountered charismatic phenomenon. Some of us live in areas where the largest churches, by far, the largest congregations, are charismatic. But I've heard you say in the past that the charismatic movement that we have experienced here in the United States is like kindergarten compared to what you have to face there in Zambia. If you want to be more detailed about that.
Yeah, I think the basic point is that although the charismatic movement began in America about 120 years ago, in Azusa Street, Los Angeles, California. Although it all began from there, in America, it's largely a form of teaching. People have developed what is called a word of faith movement. And you can go and sit down with them, or at least they come through teaching, and you can see some form of logic to what they're talking about. It's erroneous, but you can see that they've thought through things and they're teaching that. In Africa, it's not largely teaching. It is primarily a power play. And whereas it initially came through, you know, the Pentecostal Assemblies of God and Apostolic Faith Mission, you know, those older conservative Pentecostal churches, upon getting onto the African soil, it underwent a metamorphosis. It's now taken on, as I said earlier, a syncretistic form. It's the African traditional religions mediated through a witch doctor that has now become the major form of the charismatic movement. And just like the African traditional religion with its witch doctor is not a form of teaching. In fact, it's largely covered over by mysteries and mysteriousness and so forth. That's what has begun to happen with the charismatic movement as well. It's individuals who have a grip on the popular mind, largely because people are now afraid of who these individuals are and the powers they have, rather than that there's been some teaching that they are now following, and it's either giving them more knowledge or more wisdom or more comfort and so on. It's not primarily that. It's you go to this man, he lays hands on you, you fall down, you are powerless, you are rolling on the floor as though you've been taken over by some spirit. And supposedly after that, you are now going to be richer, or you're going to get married to the person you wanted to marry, or if you haven't had children, now you're going to have children, and so on. It's all about that your physical, material needs that you've been wanting, you will now come into possession of, because this man of God has had this impact on you. So that's really what you have. And that's why I keep saying that you guys in America, you don't know what you have unleashed on the African continent as it has arrived there, and then it has undergone this mutation and is now taking on an African approach.
And I recall from hearing you discuss this that it's not only the bizarre practices that closely resemble witchcraft from the local witch doctor, but the sexual immorality of pastors seems to be, from what you have said, more widespread, in the open, and accepted, where we hear all the time about powerful men in ministry, whether they're charismatic or even reformed, like you and I are, falling to the sin of adultery and so on, and scandals come about. And even in the charismatic churches, like with Billy Graham, his initial denomination put him under discipline and so on, and he had to leave the denomination in order to relaunch his ministry. He did not want to be as patient as they were requiring of him before relaunching his ministry. But there was still, even amongst the charismatics and the Pentecostals, there is an acknowledgement that pastors cannot conduct themselves that way, let alone even your average Christian in the pew. But in Zambia, it seems that it's more of an open and accepted thing amongst pastors to have adulterous relationships with women in the church and so on. If you could just be more clear about that.
Yeah, well, First of all, there is a genuine evangelical work where they would frown upon that. There also is a genuine work of grace, even among Pentecostals and charismatic guys who would also frown upon all this. But I think the point that is being made is that with the unleashing of this wider form of the charismatic movement, we are having immoral situations being accepted, which previously would never have been accepted at all. We're having situations where a pastor takes over a church member's wife, and that church member still remains a member of his church. But now his wife is serving the man of God. Totally ridiculous. We're having situations where a pastor impregnates 10 women in his church. 10, and they're there. He's also still there. Whereas the normal would have been that the moment news came out that he's having an affair, the pastor gets fired. It was obvious. But that's not happening in a number of these churches, if we can call them churches at all. And they are largely confined in this same form of the Christian faith, to the point where governments are beginning to come in. The president of Rwanda closed down easily 8,000 plus churches.
Wow.
All in an effort to bring sanity into this situation. And unfortunately, in this case, the good is being thrown together with the bad and the ugly. The baby is being thrown out together with the dirty bathwater. But that's because he doesn't know any better. So, African governments are beginning to say enough is enough. If you guys don't clean your own house, we are coming in. And the sooner this matter is addressed, the better.
Well, we are going to our midway break, and we will get to Alan in Hobe Sound, Florida's question. In fact, I'll just even ask it now, Conrad, and you could prepare for answering it when we return. Alan in Hobe Sound, Florida says, please tell us how you came to be aware of the late Vody Baucom, develop a friendship with him, and also convince him to move to Africa where he labored with you. We would love to hear more about that. Excellent question. And if anybody else has a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after these messages.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joan Warcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. And I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And RoyalDiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide financial support for us every single month automatically, on top of that, RoyalDiadem.com gives Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase the jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, let's say you want to take your church logo or your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, your business logo, and you want to turn it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring. Or maybe you're popping the question to that wonderful lady in your life and you need an engagement ring. Well, whatever the case may be, they are masters at customizing jewelry, and you are sure to be delighted with the outcome of the project. So whatever it is, something they have in stock or a customized piece of jewelry, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my wonderful conversation with my very dear friend, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, I just have some important reminders for you. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you please to go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, as some folks still do, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. And if you listen to Iron Sharpens Iron regularly, you will know that we lost two of our largest advertisers recently, one of which was a wonderful Christian bookstore here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, for over 50 years that was serving the Christian community globally with the best in Christian literature at the most reasonable prices. Sadly, they had to permanently close their doors several months ago, and we lost that valuable income because they were one of our largest advertisers. So please help us replace and replenish that lost income. If you really love the show, go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Now, having said that, I never want anybody in the audience to give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. Please don't ever cut into the money that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church to bless us financially. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a gift. But having said that, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and you don't want us to go off the air. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the entire globe, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the world find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes just a few minutes from where they live. And in fact, Pastor Scott McGrady, of North Valley Baptist Church in Dixon City, Pennsylvania, has just contacted me during the show asking for a church recommendation in Moontown, Pennsylvania, because someone, a pastor in Florida, contacted him for a recommendation since someone in his own church is moving from Florida to Moontown. So I will get back to you, Pastor Scott, with that recommendation. But if you also, like I said, are in need of a church recommendation, please just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Conrad Mbewe. Since he is a pastor, you can send him a question on any matter of pastoral concern. And you may remain anonymous if it's about a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And as I said before, Conrad, we have Alan in Hobie Sound or Hobie Sound, Florida, who just wants to know more about how you came to know and befriend Vody Balcom and your relationship with him, your friendship with him, and how he co-labored with you at African Christian University.
All right, yeah. So I got to know about Vody Balcom through Paul Washer. Paul Washer was visiting Zambia, and at the end of his visit in the year 2003, he said to me, "Conrad, do you know of a guy called Vody Balcom?" And I had no idea who Vody was. And then he said to me, "I think this is the right guy you want to have here to come and preach for you at your annual conference." So I said to him, "Brother, go and talk to Vody, and if he can make time for us, he can come over. We have a conference every last week of August." So he went and talked to him, and sure enough, Vody agreed. So the year 2007, Vody came to Zambia, and it looked like he loved what he saw. He loved the people of Zambia. He appreciated the opportunity for ministry. And the same thing happened the other way around. The Zambians loved Vody. They loved his preaching. They were lapping it up like nobody's business. So it was an immediate connection. Vody offered to be coming to Zambia every year. But in that process, he only managed to come every 2 years. And somewhere along the line, he began saying to me, "Conrad, I want to come and live here." I thought he was joking.
Huh.
And when he would bring it up, I would just laugh or just giggle. But he would bring it up every time. And finally, in the year 2014, so this would have been like, 2009, 2011, 2013. So it may have been his third or fourth visit. He said to me that, "Conrad, my wife has agreed that we move here."
Wow.
So that's when I realized this was really serious. And he said, "Pray that she doesn't change her mind." So they went back to the U.S. And a few months later, Vody calls me and says, "Conrad, I have resigned my job."
Wow.
"And my elders have asked me, what would you be doing in Zambia?" And these were his words: "Conrad, you haven't given me a job yet. What will I be doing when I come there?" So thankfully, just a few weeks prior to that, our dean for the School of Divinity at the African Christian University had just resigned to come back to the USA. So the position, an appropriate position, was waiting for him. So that's how he was offered the job as dean for the School of Divinity at the African Christian University. And come end of August 2015, Bodhi Pokham left the U.S. with his entire family, well, 7 out of his 9 children, and landed in Zambia to take up that job. So nobody should believe that I twisted Bodhi's arm so that he could come to Zambia. I would have had no capacity to do that spiritually, let alone physically. But the Lord just prevailed on him to come over to Zambia to help us with the work of reformation that God himself was doing in the Zambian context.
Now, Vodi, as the majority of Reformed Baptists in the world know, sadly departed from this earth. He died at a far too young age. And, of course, it's only sad for us who were benefiting from him and his ministry and those who loved him, like his wife and children. But for Vodi, nothing could be a happier time now for him, being face-to-face with the Lord and Savior that he served so well. How young was Vodi when he passed?
He would have been in his mid-50s, so probably would have been about 56 years old.
And I have only heard vague details about how he died, and I knew that he had been suffering with some kind of heart problems for many years, even though he was a very athletic man and a very well-built man, a very powerfully strong man, a martial artist, and so on. But he had some sort of heart issue, correct?
Yes. He had some heart problem that initially threatened his life in the year 2021. He had to travel to the USA to receive emergency medical treatment and surgery that saved his life. He was as good as gone. And then he used to come for review, and they kept assuring him that he was out of danger. He was doing well. That year when he passed on, which is last year in September, he was due for medical review in December. And he talked about that, at least to me, that he was anticipating that review. But the Lord's timing is always perfect, and it looks like it was the same heart condition that just suddenly gave way and took him to glory.
Amen. Well, I am just thrilled that while he was still on this earth, that I was able to hear him preach in person a number of times, primarily at the G3 conferences, but I also had the privilege of seeing and hearing him preach at a more intimate setting here in Pennsylvania at a church. And I'm delighted that I had the opportunity to interview him on this program while he was still among the living. Just a rare jewel of a human being and a truly magnificent minister of the gospel, and he will certainly be missed. And thank you, Alan, from Hobe, Florida, for asking about him. And we have Joey in New Rochelle, New York. Dear comrade, I was at your first U.S. preaching visit that Chris mentioned earlier. I have appreciated your ministry over the years. Would you please clarify what you meant earlier by a semi-classical approach to education? If you could please share your general thoughts on how you see that proper balance and why.
Yeah, well, let me begin by saying that one of our greatest concerns back home in Zambia that got us to start the university was simply the fact that the educational approach, by and large, in our country is one that pigeonholes you from the very beginning. So the moment you finish your high school, you are trained to be a doctor, a nurse, an engineer, a lawyer, an accountant, or whatever else it might be, without being given the foundational truths that enable you to generally function in almost any area of life. And therefore you get locked up in your little corner of learning. We were concerned that we shouldn't be producing, if I could use the phrase, clerks, individuals who, whatever they know in that little corner, that's all they are able to do. We wanted to open the minds of the individuals going through our educational system, especially building their discernment, their ability to logically handle, when I say all spheres of life, at the most basic level. And that way, assuming they studied, let's say, agriculture in the end, they would be able to run their own agricultural business, because the foundational truth of knowledge would have been put into play. And so we wanted to open them up to the classic that have made up Western civilization, for instance. Wanted to expose them to all that. We wanted to give them a core curriculum that would prepare them for their specific final areas that they would major in. We wanted to develop them also through the trivium, the grammar, logic, and rhetoric approach to learning. We wanted to expose them to the transcendental truth, goodness, and beauty, and all the rest of it, so that by the time they major in their specific area of study, it is more of majoring in it rather than it being the only thing they now know. And that way we would be producing entrepreneurs, individuals who are not waiting to get employed, although initially they might do so, but who ultimately want to set up their business in the specific area of their study and so become employers and so forth. So that's really the background that we had and continue to have, and therefore took on the semi-classical approach to education.
Now, I think where Joey was going with that question, and Joey can clarify himself if he wants to send in another email, but I think he was specifically emphasizing the semi-classic or semi-classical approach to education. It seems, perhaps, that that use of the term semi-classical or semi-classical might show a hesitancy to be full-bore classical, and unless we're just totally misunderstanding what you mean by that.
All right, yeah. Well, I think basically the point is that at the level that our students are coming in, we don't have the opportunity to give them the full of classical education. So we are giving them a platform. We're giving them enough at the level that they are coming in. Now, it's different if, for instance, we started with primary, going into secondary school or high school, and then taking them into tertiary education. I think that would have been different. So it's not a hesitation. It's just being realistic.
Amen. Well, thank you, Joey. And thanks for taking the time to send in an excellent question. By the way, Conrad, I failed to mention something that should be good news to you, and it should be extraordinary, wonderful news for any man listening that's attending the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon this Thursday, featuring Dr. Vodi, featuring Dr. Conrad Mbewe. It'd be really amazing if Dr. Vodi Balcom was there, because that would require a resurrection. But the pastor of the church where Vodi pastored, Grace Family Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, Aaron Wright is the, or at least one of the United States representatives for a fairly new Reformed Baptist publishing ministry called Broken Wharf. I don't know if you've heard of Broken Wharf, but they are donating hundreds of copies of the book Green Pastures, Ordinary Means of Grace for Ordinary Believers by J. Ryan Davidson. A really beautiful book. And so every man who attends the pastor's luncheon will be getting that. And Pastor Wright was actually with Vodi at the G3 conference the very day that they walked past my exhibitor booth, where I was conducting interviews for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And thanks be to God, Vodi sat down with me for my one and only interview with him. And I also thank Pastor Wright, who had something to do with that as well. But I just thought that I'd give you that good news. I'm sure that pleases you to know that.
Yeah, definitely, very much. I look forward to, yeah, seeing some of those books being given out at the lunch.
Great. And of course, as I said to you already, you have your first opportunity to tour through the books and snatch whatever you want. If you want to bring some as many of those books back to Zambia as you wish. We are now going to our final commercial break. And if you have a question, submit it immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Hello, this is Brian Nine, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsfortheloss.com. That's heartsfortheloss.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
I'm truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money,
then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And please don't forget, folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is also supported and funded in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, here is another reminder. If you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which will be held the day after tomorrow, Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring my guest today, my longtime friend of 30 years, Dr. Conrad Mbewe. And as I've been saying, this is absolutely free of charge. In fact, everything is always free of charge at my luncheons by design and specific demand of my precious late wife, Julie, who created the idea for these pastors' luncheons, which we launched together in the 1990s on Long Island. And she insisted that we never allow anyone to sell anything at these luncheons. That's why Christian publishers from all over the United States and the United Kingdom donate free books. And there will be many, 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 many free books for the men there. No bookseller is selling books at this event. Nobody is selling anything. And my wife made it clear she wanted men in ministry leadership to be able to attend these events without any apprehension that there was an ulterior motive behind attending, as many events are that pastors are invited to. She wanted to make sure that men came to realize that they never had to reach for their wallets when they were there, that they were being treated to a wonderful time of fun, fellowship, feasting, and free books. So you are going to have a wonderful time, I'm sure, if you attend. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And as I also said earlier, tomorrow, the night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March 4th, Dr. Mbewe will be preaching at the church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And he will be preaching on the theme, Be Holy for I Am Holy. And that's Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle at 7 p.m. For details on how to get there, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org, and we hope to see as many of you as possible there. That event, unlike the Pastor's Luncheon, is open to everyone, men, women, and children, and we hope to see you tomorrow night. And Dr. Mbewe, I would like you to really, in the moments that we have left, begin to perhaps let our listeners know what you, if you were living with the wisdom and the seasoned maturity as a minister of the gospel that you possess now, is there anything as a much younger man when we first met 30 years ago, is there anything that you would have perhaps done differently?
Yes. In terms of emphasis, I think I would speak more of Christ. I would preach Christ a lot more from every angle. Christ as prophet, Christ as priest, Christ as king. I would, which is what I do a lot more of now than I was doing then. There would be less of an atmosphere that sounds like it's legalism. I would, as the Apostle Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians and chapter 2 and verse 6, he says there, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, don't just begin with Jesus. You continue with Jesus, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I think that's the atmosphere in which I tend to function in my mature years, that it's about Christ. Christ as Savior, Christ as Lord, Christ as our companion in life. Even in leading the church, it is because the church belongs to Christ. It is the bride of Christ. It is the sheep of Christ. It is the body of Christ. It comprises the saints the ones who are set apart for God in Christ Jesus. It is the household of faith, and so on. So I think that's the major difference. And it's not like black and white. I think it was a lot more gray. Whereas now I tend to see that that's what I've been called to proclaim. To proclaim him wherever I am. That people may go away in love with his Savior, Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. We have somebody who has a wonderful name, Gilead. There is a bomb in Gilead, I've heard. He is in Sunrise Manor, Nevada. And Gilead says, you said earlier that you have hundreds of people, perhaps even 400 in your congregation, and that you have been involved in the planting of many churches on the African continent. This is demonstrating that there seems to be a hunger and thirst for Reformed Baptist teaching. Can you explain further about this? And I'm assuming he's obviously talking about a hunger and thirst in Zambia and the African continent, as you've been planting churches outside of Zambia.
Yes, there's no doubt that I live in a day of opportunity. There's no doubt about it. The figures and numbers I'm giving out here are not primarily because I have pressed the right buttons, I have found the right formula, and so on. It's largely that I'm living in a day in Africa when the Holy Spirit is doing an extraordinary work. The kind of work that would have been once upon a time fairly common in the United States of America, and going a little further back, fairly common on the continent of Europe. There's no doubt that there's a hunger for God and for the things of God that's not common in the Western world. That our young people are seeking the Savior, not because they are poor. Many of them are individuals that are in middle to upper class of society. They are college and university students, brilliant in terms of intellectual giftedness. But they are seeking the Lord. They are finding him, or better still, he's finding them. And they are wanting to serve him, and to serve him sacrificially. We have a case at the moment of two or three of young married individuals who have quit their jobs and want to plant churches, and they have no income, but they are willing to go with the young family into church planting situation because they've come to know the Lord. They've come to know his gospel. They cannot stand the thought that there are people perishing. And they don't just want to evangelize, but they want to plant churches there. And I'm simply a beneficiary of that blessing. And all I want to do is to be a good steward of it while the Lord lends me breath.
Hallelujah. Well, folks, please remember the websites that are associated with my dear friend Conrad Mbewe. First of all, KabwataBaptistChurch.com, KABWATA, BaptistChurch.com. And also for African Christian University, ACU.AC.ZM, ACU.AC.ZM. And acu-usa.com, acu-usa.com. Thank you, Dr. Mbewe, for doing such a wonderful job on the show today. I look forward to seeing you in just about 30 minutes for dinner with my pastor, Simon Omani. and I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship. I want to thank everybody who listened, and please, if you have any interest in attending tomorrow night's event at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, or if you have interest in attending the pastor's luncheon, if you're a man in ministry leadership, just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details you need. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.